This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today's subject is sex. And yes, sex is part of intelligent medicine because I just can't tell you how often the subject of sex comes up in my encounters with patients, whether it's problems with sexuality, difficulties in one way, shape, or form, whether it's men or women, we see issues coming up. And so today we're going to talk to the author of a great book on this subject. She's a good colleague of mine. She's Dr. Roberta Foss Morgan, and she's author of a book called The Sexless Marriage Fix. Dr. Morgan was the medical director of the Princeton Bio Center, where she honed her skills in nutritional biochemistry and bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and now she's the director of the Morgan Center for Integrative Medicine, which is located in southern New Jersey, right, Dr. Morgan?
Yes, I have two practices, one in Haddonfield, New Jersey, which is about 9 miles from Philadelphia, and one at the beach, and that's at Ventnor, New Jersey. It's next to Atlantic City.
Okay. Is that a little bit more of a seasonal practice, catering to individuals who kind of hang out at the shore? No, it's year-round. Okay, good.
Year-round.
Yeah,
and my goal is to retire and have one practice and one home.
That would be good.
At the beach.
preferably. So, and just to be clear, you are not a specialist per se in human sexuality. You're an integrative physician just like me. Our practices in some ways are similar. It's just that you have staked out this area as an area of particular interest, in line with your interest in bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, right?
Yes. And what I learned in Europe with Dr. Terry Hertog, who, as you know, is a fourth-generation Belgium endocrinologist. So, as you know, Dr. Hoffman, we don't receive training in sexuality, weight loss, all kinds of other psychiatry, but I guess if they taught us everything we needed to know, we would still be there. So I go to Europe. I try to go 4 times a year and train with Dr.
Wow.
Hertog. He's a
and incidentally, he's an interesting person because he is the grandson of one of the pioneers in thyroid replacement therapy. There are pictures that are like these old-fashioned pictures from the 19th century of his patients before and after. You know, the profound differences after it was realized they had thyroid problems. They looked all puffy and bloated. And then once they received proper thyroid replacement with natural thyroid, of course, that was the standard in those days, just ground up pig thyroid, they responded beautifully. They totally changed in their appearance. The pictures are so dramatic.
And as we'll hear, thyroid is important for sexuality as well. And what you're talking about is in Europe, they only prescribe Armour thyroid. Armour mimics physiologically our thyroid. Our thyroid has T1, T2, T3, T4, and calcitonin, unlike the way we're taught to prescribe in America, which is Synthroid only, which is T4. Sometimes it converts, sometimes it doesn't.
Right. But so that's part of the picture. But, you know, let's hone in on the issue. And, you know, there's some controversy about this because some might say that this is a matter of personal choice and preference, is that, you know, sometimes as you age or certain types of relationships, you kind of drift into a sexless marriage, the title of the book being The Sexless Marriage. And that's okay because, you know, you can be, life companions, You can be in a relationship. You can have a profound emotional connection. But, you know, the sexuality part, maybe that can wane. But I think you take a little bit of a different position. You put sexuality in a position of greater primacy, right?
It's absolutely imperative for health. And there's less dementia. There's less coronary artery disease when a man and woman are having sexual relations 2 times a week. So in Europe, they give us 14, 16 hours of lectures on sexuality. In America, our sexual history is, would you like me to prescribe Viagra or Cialis?
Right.
That's pretty much it. Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And by the way, here's some free samples that I got from the drug guy. He just right. dropped them off in my office. And, you know, right. once you like them, you'll be spending money for life on these things. So another question is, what's the norm? I mean, you know, should we feel bad because we're not having enough? I mean, it's in this age of, you know, getting report cards and, you know, everybody's kind of performance oriented. You know, what should we be striving for? I mean, is it like vitamin D levels? They should be, you know, between 45 and 70 or else you're in trouble.
What you mean, whether
the
or not
frequency of intercourse. Yeah.
Well, it's the great big open secret that no one is talking about. And if they do question their internal medicine or gynecologist or endocrinologist, that usually the answer in America is, well, you're getting older, so you should just expect that. Mm-hmm. But in Europe, that's not the case. It's considered part of a healthy lifestyle so that we can die old feeling as young as possible. It's very important. It's 1% of the marriage, Dr. Hoffman, but it, unfortunately, it's the most important 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And people signed up for monogamy, but they did not sign up
for celibacy. It punches higher than its weight, so to speak, in terms
yes.
of its relative importance, because, you know, you point out in your book that we actually spend probably more time in our lives waiting at red lights than having sex. But still, yes. it's of greater importance in terms of overall psychological and physical health.
Yes. There, women receive so much when they receive an ejaculate, and they don't know that, and I tell them that. Okay, so, and men just don't feel like men when they're unable to get and keep an erection. They lose their sense of masculinity
yep.
and get sad, and they're not as motivated and all kinds of things like that.
So you mentioned, this is an interesting fact, is that in addition to the stimulus that you may receive from a sexual activity, you know, the very, the mechanical nervous system to brain, activation that you may obtain, as a female, there's actually some physical properties of the ejaculate that may be beneficial for a woman's health. And, of course, this is precluded when you're using barrier contraception, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. You're not receiving that.
Mm-hmm. And that might consist of testosterone, a little bit of a shot of testosterone, and other beneficial feel-good compounds that are present.
You mean what do they receive upon
yep.
ejaculate? They receive testosterone, oxytocin, about 20 milligrams, and oxytocin is an amazing hormone. Zinc, which is very important for the receptor to receive any hormonal replacement that I may be prescribing.
Hmm.
And again, with the hormonal prescribing, the goal is not to be a pharmacologic high doses. It's to be physiologic low doses and to keep you in the high, Dr. Hertog teaches us to keep you in the highest quartile or quintile for the rest of your life.
Wow.
Okay. I think the centenarian studies show that people who are centenarians have high levels of testosterone and uh-huh. vitamin D and other things as well.
But coming back to the key question, you quote some statistics in the book about frequency. What are we talking about here in terms of, you know, people as they move into their 40s, 50s, and 60s? What, you know, what should they be expecting in terms of the norm?
Well, if you do everything they teach me in Europe, you can achieve twice a week, but I'll be happy with once a week. And until I started writing this book, I had no idea there were so many sexless marriages out there. There are so many people living as roommates, and and they're sad about it. When I talk to them, when I take an in-depth sexual history, there are tears coming from men and women, and they miss each other. So it's very important.
Indeed. So, you know, let's talk reasons for diminished desire. You know, and let's start, you know, I think we can, there's some commonalities between, among the sexes. And then there's some individual reasons that are vary by sex. So let's talk about some of those. What are some of the downers?
Okay, first of all, it's interesting to note that even my men in their late 20s and early 30s have low normal. They just squeaked across the fence either. And you can't just get a total testosterone. At some point, we have to talk about what the hormonal workup is. It's free and total testosterone, but they're low. You've talked about this in your shows, and Dr. Hoffman, I listen. I listen to you more than anybody else. I roam through the house.
Goodness gracious! So you're the one. You're the one who's listening.
Yeah, I'm the one, and I'm listening to every podcast, and I'm ordering the book. And you have me very busy.
Good.
But what was the original question? Because I got off there. You know, I did.
Tangents. We love tangents. So just coming back to the reasons for drugs. Reasons that for diminished desire, and we might include among that, you know, drugs that rob libido. That's among the causes, right?
Absolutely. Okay, but I remember one of your podcasts, and you went to a conference in New York City with all the endocrine disruptors, and you said that the average woman leaves the house in the morning with over 100 chemicals on her. Mm-hmm. These environmental assaults, whether they be cleaning supplies, solvents, makeup, are altering our endocrine pathways. The other thing is elite athleticism. So I do have some hot shot players, big
overdoing
baseball
it.
Players. And guess what? They're young and they're low in testosterone, but I'm not allowed to treat them. And the other thing is hemochromatosis and also, as you mentioned, medications. Some antihypertensives, the SSRIs, the antidepressants. Mm-hmm. And I was always very curious why only about 8 or 9% of women could reach climax when they were taking an antidepressant.
And wow, that is such a low statistic. Yeah, wow.
It is very bad. And they'll say it will take 4 hours, and then they will say, was that it? All right, and Dr. Hertog taught me that the problem is that the serotonin decreases oxytocin. So if they have to be on an antidepressant, I also put them on compounded oxytocin by sublingual or intranasal, and that usually fixes the problem.
Sounds like I should go to one of those conferences. And where are they held? In Belgium?
Oh, Belgium. I go wherever he goes. I'm a groupie.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Well, I got some new in-laws in Belgium, so maybe I can combine a trip with an opportunity to. Yeah, it is. It is a wonderful country. So, okay. So, those are some of the physical causes. And then, you know, of course, there's, you know, female menopause and andropause in men. So what's going on there?
Okay. Well, you know, unlike women, no man loses 90% of his sexual hormones in a couple of years. Women, I'm finding marriages are ending, unfortunately, and they don't have to because they're menopausal. Many women come to me with a diagnosis of bipolar. And when I do a hormonal workup and balance their hormones, and I usually give them 6 or 7 hormones, I take 10. I'm sliding into 70 now, and I feel 20, and that's the point. But then
you and Suzanne Summers, you're like kindred spirits.
Yeah, I feel well. Okay,
she's a huge believer in hormones as well.
Absolutely, but this did not have to happen because women go mental. Okay, and the men, it's more subtle. You know, decreased muscle. They're perhaps grumpy and they don't know it. Of course, men have loss of libido. They'll tell me, a beautiful woman will walk by and they no longer feel excited, and they're actually sad about that. Yep. It's part of their masculinity. They can't get and keep an erection. They have no ejaculate or a very small amount of ejaculate. It takes them longer to climax, and this is for men and women. And it used to be a bang and now it's a whimper. So it, and of course in America what we say is what you expect, you're getting older. But there really is a way to fix this with, but it's not just testosterone and it's not just Viagra or Cialis.
So you alluded to exercise before, but it sounds like there's a U-shaped curve for exercise because certain exercises, especially for men, are beneficial for libido. And if you lead a sedentary lifestyle and you're not in touch with your body and movement, then your libido is going to lag because you won't feel like sort of a healthy, vibrant person.
Well, I agree with what you do, and since I listened to your podcast, I'm very familiar with your exercise program. But I'm talking about the ball players and the hockey players and the people who are
ultra marathoners, you know, the super endurance, long distance events, Ironman triathlon, you know, 300-400 miles per week on a bicycle, for example, can really drain your testosterone, clearly.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, cholesterol's big business in this country, and many people are on statins. And if they lower the cholesterol too much, cholesterol is the precursor to the hundreds and hundreds of hormones that are decreasing with aging. So, I mean, sometimes people come to me with a cholesterol of 120. I mean, they're being overtreated.
Indeed.
And they also have protein and saturated fat in cultures, in the Indian cultures, where they're strict vegan.
Yep.
When they want the woman to get and remain pregnant, they let them have meat during that time so they can make the hormones.
That is so interesting because I recently was called upon to write a chapter for a compilation. There's several chapters in the book. It's part of the Andrew Weil series on integrative medicine, and I will be that'll be published, I believe, in February of 2018, and I'll let our listeners know and I'll interview myself on it, or maybe I'll interview some of the other authors. But the capture that I did was on the relationship between diet and sex. And I thought, well, you know, talking about things like eating prairie oysters and things like that, and, you know, shellfish or things like that make you sexy. You know, I don't know how valid that is. But what I did discover in my research is that if you are a real dyed-in-the-wool vegan on a very low-fat diet, you just don't synthesize as much testosterone. And there's evidence that that may cause a bit of a lag in libido.
Correct. And what you just mentioned about the shellfish and things like that, what happens is they have zinc. So what happens, because it's testosterone converts into estradiol. That's the big ticket. If we're just going to look at one hormone in this country for sexuality, testosterone, it's going to be an abysmal failure. You must understand the biochemistry, that testosterone converts to estradiol in men, and if they need zinc, and if they have zinc, it prevents, in part, conversion. Also, if they have a fatty belly.
Which is called aromatization, technically.
Right. So the aromatase enzyme will convert the testosterone into estradiol. Men need a little bit of estrogen, just like women need a little bit of testosterone. But if you lower the, and then sometimes they lower the estrogen too much, they take Arimidex or Clomid or something like that. And then when they do that, they have the same problems as women. They have hot flashes at night. Mm-hmm. They're depressed. They get osteoporosis. The same as women. So men need a little estrogen. Yep. Women need a little testosterone.
And men I saw one study which showed that there's a rare mutation where men produce no estrogen. It's very rare. It's maybe one in 100,000 or something. And they studied these men, and uniformly, men who just have testosterone and no estrogen, they have very low IQs because the brain needs estrogen. That's a little factoid. I can send you a reference on that. Yeah. That'll go well with your slideshow or your presentation. So let's come back to reasons for diminished desire. I mean, surely, there are physical reasons, but your book is really holistic and comprehensive, and you talk about the many emotional reasons that desire can decline, and you actually coined a term, NPS, neglected partner syndrome, and there are some other syndromes.
Yes, and I think part of the reason for that is because when you are neglected, foreplay begins long, long before you get in your birthday suit and
yeah,
express your love for each other, okay? So it's, and I say to my patients, I ask them a couple of questions. First of all, did you ever like sex? I say to my women. Because if they never like sex, I can't get it back usually, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, and the other thing is they don't talk about it. It's a big secret. They have to talk about it. And I'll ask them, is your husband masturbating? And they'll say no. And I just happen to have the husband and the wife. And when I ask the husband, he is. And this is an interesting story. They weren't having sex. The wife missed him very much. And then I asked him, are you masturbating? He said yes. And I said, how often? And he said, every day. And I didn't ask the right question. What are you doing when you're masturbating? He was watching porn. He was addicted to porn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which, by the way, is a big element now in the decline in sexual interest, especially among younger men, because they're weaned on porn virtually. I mean, when I was a kid, I was lucky to get a hold of a Playboy magazine that somebody threw in a trash can. You know, I'd go in the alley and, oh boy, I found a treasure trove Playboy magazine, and maybe they showed breasts, but they didn't show anything else. And now it's, you can get, you know, just click on bestiality and there you go, you know, you're off, off to the races.
Pretty scary what you can get on
that.
And no woman or no man can meet those.
It's meet a cyber sex. Yeah. I mean, right.
Yeah. That's a problem.
But so anyway, continuing with that story on the pornography element with that couple.
So it was one of the rare couples I wasn't able to help, but he was, when he would come, he would try to get me to giggle and be friends, and he was like, not, that was his way of not talking about it. So they never did fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time I can fix it. And sometimes I just have the wife, and I get her all tuned up, and she's feeling a libido again.
Mm-hmm.
She's having perhaps some sexual dreams. And the next time her husband wants to have relations, she doesn't say, oh, crap. But it's much better when I have both the husband mm-hmm. and the wife.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the reasons that a lot of women don't want to have sex with their husbands is because their husbands are real SOBs. You know, they're just...
Well, yes, there is that. I'll say to them, have you said too many horrible things to each other?
Yeah.
And I said, because, you know, it's really difficult. You will forget, but you will not forgive.
Yeah.
And you can't, and the French have these sayings, you know, many problems are solved on the pillow, you know, and they didn't have that. So the people who don't have sexual relations, they get angry with each other very easily, I find.
Mm. Mm-hmm. There's a more tenuous connection, shall we say. That is it's one of the many aspects, ways in which we connect on so many levels, you know, intellectually and emotionally and, you know, mutual and shared interests and family. And then there's the sexual element. And these are all important threads that bind us together. And that is one of great primacy. So, let's talk a little bit about, this is a good point at which to pause, because time flies when you're having fun, and we divide these podcasts into two parts. We sort of lay the groundwork for our discussion about the sexless marriage fix. That's the title of a book by today's guest, Roberta Foss Morgan, who is a physician who practices in New Jersey. She's an integrative physician, but she has acquired a subspecialty in this area of human sexuality. And when we return, we're going to talk about some fixes. We're going to talk about some solutions. We'll talk a little bit about hormone replacement therapy, the bioidentical kind. We'll talk about drugs versus herbal libido enhancers, and a lot of good stuff coming up in part two. So stay with us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.